We're thankful and grateful for the opportunity to be able to speak tonight. Glad to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad we serve a God that's been good to us. Whether we deserved it or not, He was still good to us. Amen. I love the second verse of the song the youth choir sang. It says, if you don't ever answer another prayer for me, and if I never see another miracle, yet my faith will not be shaken. Amen. He has been way too good to me, to my family, that I'll never be able to praise Him enough. But I'm just thankful to be here tonight. Amen. If you have your Bibles, and you would turn to John chapter 6. Gospel of John chapter number 6. Begin reading in verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed Him, because they saw His miracles which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained, over and above unto them that had eaten. Amen. And one verse in Acts chapter 3 and verse number 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. If you would, just stretch forth your hand this way and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness and mercy. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to be in Your house. Lord, we ask that You would just minister tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that You would open my mind to the clarity of that which You've laid on my heart. God, I pray that You would just pour Your Spirit out upon me, Lord.
Amen. For a few moments tonight, I would like to speak on meat for the multitudes. Meat for the multitudes. I'm going to put this up here. I thought about bringing a flag and just hanging it as a visual aid just to get your attention, maybe look at it the whole time, but Lifesavers will make you hungry. And you'll okay to pay a lot of attention. As I was preparing this sermon, all I could think about was Lifesavers. Now, I love candy. I do. I don't like chocolate, but I love fruity candy. And what I had to talk about tonight somehow just fit with Lifesavers. And just give you a quick tidbit about Lifesavers. They're an American brand of ring-shaped mints and artificially fruit-flavored hard candy. And they were created in 1912. They were only in mint in 1912. They became fruit flavored in 1930, which according to Wikipedia was very popular at that time. So whether you believe Wikipedia or not, that was just some information. But Lifesavers. So I'm going to get to these, I promise, okay? All as Brian got a hold of me in Monday evening and asked me if I would speak, my mind immediately went to this portion of scripture in
this thought that I've had has actually been burning on my heart for a couple months. And I've shared this with my children's church. So if it's all right, for some reason, Brother Hurst, I still get nervous up here on the pulpit. And I talk to kids every Sunday. So I'm just going to act like you are them, okay? And that'll probably help me not to be so nervous up here. But in this story, we read that Jesus had a great following coming after him. And it was about time to eat, and he knew that he didn't have enough bread to feed them. And so he asked, in my mind, a facetious question. He said, what are we going to give them? Because the Bible says he already knew what he was going to do. Amen. How many times in our life have we been met with a situation or a circumstance just as fist disease? And 27 years ago, God already knew what he was going to do. How many times has that been in our life when we thought this seems to be unsurmountable? We can't get over this. This is going to be something we'll never get through. But we forget that God knew what he was going to do before he even allowed it to happen. Amen. So he asked Philip, he said, what are we going to give him? And Philip said, 200 pennies worth wouldn't be enough just to even give him a little. Just a little. I mean, the Bible says that there was about 5,000 men in John. If you go through the other Gospels, you can read it was 5,000 men plus women and children. So if you want to do quick math, for every man has a wife, now you're at 10,000. If each one has one kid, then you're at another, you're at 15,000. But it doesn't give you all that. It just says the men sat down. So the first thing that we look at in this story, that there was a need. And as I began to read, my mind went to Acts chapter 3. And I know Brother Zach Rapp had preached on this chapter. And as he was preaching, I was typing things in my phone down there because thoughts were just coming to me and flooding my mind. And in the Acts story, there was a man who sat by the pool or by the gate, and he couldn't get any. He begged for alms. He just wanted a little bit of money. So in the John story, we have a need of people needing to be fed. And in Acts, we have a need of a man needing to be healed. There are people that we come in contact with every day that have needs, that have something that they need from the Lord. They're searching. People are searching for anything to fulfill and to satisfy that longing in their heart. Amen. Remember back into the day when you weren't a Christian. What did you do? You tried to fill your life with everything you could to satisfy that hunger. Amen. And there are people that need something every day. They're looking for answers from someone, whether that's you or the guy who pumps their gas or the lady behind the counter when they go to the bank or they go to the grocery store. Or they come to buy a used car. They're looking for something. But the question is, do you have the something that they're looking for? Do you have the meat for the multitude? Amen. So there was a problem. There was a need. Secondly, there was a solution. Philip knew that he didn't have enough money in the purse to buy enough food for everyone. But there was a lad there who had a small lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, for me, that's not enough to even whet my appetite. But for him, that was probably enough for him to eat and have a little bit left over. We don't know. We do know that he was willing to give it to God. He was willing to share it. They had no other means. They're out on the countryside. The Bible says there was a lot of grass, so in my mind I picture a hillside or something. They're just sitting there. No town for miles away, but there was a boy, and he had a lunch. He didn't have much. Maybe that was the last 5 loaves and 2 fish he had. I'm not going to say that that's what was, because that's not in the Bible. But sometimes your mind begins to wonder and to think about those things as you're preparing and as you're reading over and over. He didn't have much, but he offered it anyway. Amen. The solution for the lame man was, Peter said to him, he said, look on us. The man sat there and begged for alms. He said, look on us. So if there's a solution, there's got to be an answer. Amen. There has to be an answer. The Bible says that Jesus took the bread and the fish, and after he blessed it, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, and they gave it to every single one of them to eat. He didn't say they just got a pinch. Read a little further. He says they ate till they were full. Remember the comment about the fish and the bread wouldn't be enough for me? I'm sure there were some other men out there that five loaves and two fish was probably not enough. But the Bible says they ate till they were full. Not only did they eat until they were full, but there were also 12 baskets left over. This was God's, in my mind, this was God's way of showing us that he is more than able. More than able. The scripture verse kept coming to my mind. Brother Hurst quotes it. I found myself quoting it a lot. It says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or even think. Here he took five loaves and two fish, and he fed thousands of people. Not only did he feed them, but he fed them till they were full. I couldn't get over that the whole time I was preparing. I've read this story over and over and over again. And Brother Jamie, there were things that stood out to me this time that never had before. They ate till they were full. How many times do we come into God's house and we've got a need, and we come to the altar and we begin to pray, and God is more than able to meet that need, and we come down and we cry a little, and we worship and we pray and we say, God, this is my need and this is what I need you to do. But all along we get up and everything's exactly the same. We don't come and we don't feast until we're full. We don't feast until the need's been met. We're happy and content just to have our few bites of fish and bread and go on our way. But we serve a God that is more than able. He can do more than our minds can even comprehend. The lame man received a healing that day instead of alms. He went to the gate just as any other day. Said, I'll sit here and I'll beg for money and see if somebody will put maybe just one or two in my cup. Not knowing that that was going to be the day that he received a complete healing and that he walked away and everything was going to be fine. He didn't know it. You don't know when the day is going to come when you're going to receive your healing, but you don't stop praying for it. You don't stop believing God for it. You don't come to the altar and say, okay, God, I'm good, and then get up and walk away. You stay there until God does, and if he doesn't do it that day, you come back the next time. And if he doesn't do it on Wednesday, you come back Sunday. And if he doesn't do it Sunday, you keep coming back, and you keep coming back, because the Bible doesn't say, but this man sat by the gate a long time. In my mind, I imagine day after day after day, and then that day came when the miracle happened. It wasn't just money in a cup. It was a healing. It was what he needed. It was the answer to his problem. It was his answer. Peter knew that he and John didn't have anything of monetary value. They didn't have a dime on them. But I like that verse. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Peter had something. Peter ended up having the meat for the multitude that day. Peter had what it was that man needed, because Peter had been with the Lord, because Peter had been in prayer. Peter had been the one that got on his knees in the early morning hours and said, Lord, I need something extra special from you today, because I don't know who I'm going to come in contact with, and I don't know what the need's going to be, but Father, I want to be able to help them. I want to be able to offer them something. You know, sometimes it doesn't have to be you have to give them a healing. Sometimes it's just a word. It could be a word of encouragement, or it could be just lending a listening ear. You have the need that other people need if you want to use it, if you want to give it. But you know what? You can't get from point A to point B without gas in your car. You could try diesel fuel, but you probably wouldn't like the outcome on the end. And you know what? We can walk this Christian walk, and we can get from point A to point B. But Brian, depending on what we fill our lives with, what we put around us, will depend upon how effective we really are. And we may not like the end result when we're done. What Peter and John had that day was the very thing that was going to change this man's life. And you may say, Brother Brad, I don't have much. I can't play music, or I can't get up and sing, or I can't drive a bus, or can you pick up trash? Can you volunteer for Sidewalk Sunday School? You know, can you just be there to open the door for the people as they walk into church? Can you be there to sit on the pew and to worship when it's time to worship and to lift your hands and to worship God and praise Him? Can you do that? Well, I don't have any talents. God didn't give everybody talent. But God gave everybody something. The ability. Some people don't have the ability to talk to others. I know for a long time it was hard for me to go up to a stranger and just talk to him. To be honest, it is still really hard for me to walk up to somebody I don't know and to have a conversation. I don't know why. It's not my personality. I like to talk. I like to, be friendly. But if I don't know you, then I have a hard time opening up to you. But those are the times when I say, God, I really need your help. And I found out that those are the times when you feel that prodding in your heart. You go ahead and do it. You say, I'm going to go ahead and talk anyway. I'm going to go ahead and open up. And those end up being the times when you feel the least nervous. Everybody has something. My friend Chris over here, he was sharing with me the other day that you're working on an app for iPhone and iPod, correct? I can't do that. I'm just going to tell you now, that's not going to happen. But he can. Brother Hurst had him get up one night in service and asked him to play the piano. We all saw what happened after that, right? But he's excellent with electronics and things like that, of that nature. He's going to do things that I'm not going to do. Who knows, Chris, you might be able to create an app that would have the plan of salvation right there on your phone. And for the people that have a hard time talking, they could just pull their phone out and say, look, this is the plan of salvation. Let me walk you through it. Who knows? I don't. But you have abilities that I don't have. Brother Jacob, you have musical abilities that I wish I had. I see you sit down at the piano and you just play, and it's beautiful. And that's talent that God's given you. And those are things that, unless I practice for years on end, I'm never going to be able just to sit down and play like that. But God's using Brother Jacob in that aspect. And you say, but I can't do that. It doesn't matter what you can't do. Look at the things you can do. Don't get so caught up in, I can't do this. Look at the things that you can do. Because you can do something that somebody else can't do. You could be the Peter and John that walked to the gate that day. And you say, I don't have any silver and gold, but such as I do have, give I thee. That could be you. Is what you have, is it a lifesaver? Or is it a generic substitute for the real thing? I don't know if you've ever eaten lifesavers, but man, they're really good. And the generic kind, they're not so good. They're kind of chewy and don't like them. Is what you have, is it meat for the multitude? In order for you to have something, you're going to have to put forth effort. You're going to have to be the one that says, I'm going to get alone by myself when nobody else is watching. Young people, you're going to come in contact with people every day that we're not going to see, that we're not going to meet. And are you going to be like Peter and John? Are you going to have something to give to them? From this we can gather that Peter and John did have something, but it wasn't what the man was expecting. You might say that all I have is a little, and that people over there have a whole lot more than me, and they can do a whole lot more than I can do. But God will, and God's going to surely pick them. God can use whatever you have to offer to Him. And all He wants from us is us. He doesn't say, I'm going to take your talents. He just wants us. Because a life that's committed and sold out to God will be the ones that will be like Peter and John, and will have what that person needs. Final thought that I have for tonight is that what we have to offer, is it meat for the multitude, or is it just garbage for the can? Is it really meat for the multitude? Is it what other people are looking for? Or is it just something you have for a while, and before long it's going to find its place, it's going to hit the spot, it's going to find its place somewhere else? I don't know about you, but I want to make sure that when any opportunity arises, that I can be like Peter and John, and I can say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Because that one little word there implies, I don't have this, but I have this. I don't have this, you know, to the person that's dying of thirst, a cup of water will be suffice for them. To the person that's hungry, a piece of bread will be suffice for them. You don't have to have a 5-course meal, just a piece of bread would be suffice for them. To the person that's dying lost, all it takes is Jesus. All it takes is Jesus. Amen. I hope tonight that something I said will spark an interest in you to seek after Him more, to have Him be what other people are looking for in your life. Brother Brian.
Amen. It's a good thought. Amen. Why don't we take heed to what Brother Brad has said tonight? Let's come find a place to pray. Ask the Lord just to put a burden in our hearts. Amen. For the lost around us, that we would be able to give them the word of life. Amen. Let's come find a place to pray tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.